We're going to just welcome Shepherd to come and minister a word to us. Hallelujah. I know time's racing on, but, well, we're just going to give God some time as well to just praise, listen to the word of the Lord. Thank you, Shepherd. We welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, everyone. It's really, really good to be here. And I've not been here for some time. Last time I was here, we were not in a building like this. We were in a smaller building. And I just thank the Lord just seeing how faithful He is. What a faithful God we serve. What a faithful, true, loving God He is. I'm just going to get some of my stuff ready for a second. It is good to be in the house of the Lord and to share the word of the Lord with amongst believers. And today what I'm sharing about is something that speaks of God's character and speaks about God's attribute, and not only about His attribute, about who actually God is. And today I feel honored, I feel privileged to be here with you guys, to be amongst believers. And God is a faithful God. I think we were singing earlier about how God is faithful. And not only is God faithful, but God is a God who loves us. And He doesn't just love us for the sake of because we praise and worship Him, but He loves us without any condition. He is an unconditional loving God. And today, it's not okay. What I want to share with you today is about God's love. We know that God is a God of love. And part of it is intertwined in what we call, it's a word which is very obscure to translate. And this word I'm talking about is a word, chesed. I don't know anybody who's ever spoken in Hebrew or has done any Hebrew lesson somewhere. All right, I see one raising their hands. So this word, it's a word called chesed. And it's spelled C-H-S-E-D, chesed. And if you want a Roman-sized word, it might just be spelled H-E-S-D. So that's chesed. It's a Hebrew word which is commonly translated loving kindness. Loving kindness. That's the word, loving kindness. And it occurs in the Bible 248 times in 214 verses. English versions of the Bible usually translate the word to represent with words that represent it, such as loving kindness, mercy, steadfast love, and sometimes even loyalty. The closest we get in the New Testament for the word is actually grace. And it occurs, there's a list of verses which, if anybody wants them after the sermon, I could happily give them to you. To actually, you can actually go and check them out to see where does he talk about this chesed. Where does he talk about this chesed love? What does this chesed love actually mean? What does it represent for us in our lives? And what I would want to say to you, this word is very difficult to translate. And the reason why it's difficult to translate so much is that in English, we don't actually have a single word to cater for it. So sometimes, like I said, it talks about love. They talk about chesed just being love. But love is not enough on its own. What it talks about mercy. It talks about grace, kindness, faithfulness, loyalty. It wraps itself all the positive attributes of God. Chesed is one of the Lord's most treasured characteristics. It's chesed, it's love. So what do we mean by this love we're talking about? It's enduring, eternal, undeserved love. We were just singing just in worship now, and we were singing, in royal robes, I don't deserve. We don't deserve. It's God's love. God actually loves us without any benefit to Him. He doesn't take any benefit away from it. His love is just a love that endures, which goes beyond. Before we were born, God already knew us. God already was in charge of the whole universe. And for us to be here, to be standing here, for you guys to be here talking now, sharing the word, it's His love. It can only be His love, and His love is a love that endures. So chesed is steady love, steadfast love, rock solid faithfulness. 19 years ago, people in the church started praying, asking God for a miracle, wanting a place to worship. And God was there. God was faithful. If you had asked them 5 years ago, people would come to this church. Where are we with that plan from 19 years ago? People just look at each other and think, maybe the Lord doesn't want us to have that church. Maybe it's not in His plan. But because it's an endurance kind of love that He offers us, He makes it for us. He makes the plans for us. Chesed can actually be seen in Isaiah 54. Verse 10, and he talks about, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love, and that word again, chesed, is brought in. My unfailing love. So he talks about being unfailing love again. It's about God's unfailing love for you will not be shaken. So it will not actually be shaken. It holds strong. The mountains can move. They can be removed. They can be shaken. But God's love, it's a real kind of love. It's a love that does not need. Chesed is love that is enduring, that is persistent beyond any sin or betrayal to man brokenness. Generosity, extended forgiveness. Lamentations 3, 31 and 32. No one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though He brings grief, He will show compassion. So great is His unfailing love. There goes that word again. Chesed. It's chesed love that He will show. Chesed is a completely undeserved kindness and generosity done by a person who is in a position of power. This was the Israelites' experience of God. He revealed Himself to them when they were not looking for Him. We were not looking for God when He revealed Himself to us. We were not looking for Him. We never sought after Him. We were not looking for Him. And He revealed Himself. He revealed Himself to us. And He kept His covenant with them long after the persistent breaking of it had been destroyed. Any reason for the continued of it. Unlike humans, this God we praise, this God that we worship, was not fickle. Undependable, self-serving, grasping. Instead, He was faithful, true, upright, and gracious as always. And this is what God is. God keeps His end of the bargain. If He promises that He will look after you, God will protect you, God will be there for you, God will bless you in the city when you come, when you go, when God blesses you with a job, when God blesses, even when you're blessing Him or not, God is there. He will keep His end of the bargain. We can break our end of the bargain. See, God works with covenant. Whenever it starts raining and you go out, and if you've ever seen a lovely rainbow, a beautiful rainbow, we just think, oh, what a lovely sight. Do you know what that represents, that rainbow? That rainbow represents a covenant that God made. And that covenant that God made was, we often say a blessing. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who keeps covenant. He says, no more will I destroy the earth with water, with the floods, if you recall the floods. So whenever you see a rainbow, that covenant, it's a sign for that covenant that he made all those years ago. All those years, the time of creation, all those years, he still keeps that covenant. Amen. If you got your Bibles, please would you turn with me to the book of Ruth? And we're reading from verse 8 to 20. Has everybody found the book of Ruth? I'll wait for you. I might even help you to find it. It's not that hidden. It's the chapter we want. We want Ruth, the book of Ruth. And it's chapter 1, verse 8 and 20. Once you found Ruth 1, it will be so easy to find it, because it's only the first chapter, so it will be very easy. And verse 8 is just in between verse 7 and 20. So it will be very easy to find if you can. Everybody there? All right. And of course, a little background to this is Ruth and Naomi, or rather, Naomi and Orpah, they were married to Ruth's sons. Ruth had a husband who passed away, and the sons also passed away. And when this all happened, Naomi, as the mother-in-law to these girls, wanted them to be blessed, wanted them to release them, to actually go, to actually be themselves again. They're not bound anymore to her. And she says in verse 8, and Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of a husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, no, but we will surely return with you to your people. But Naomi said, return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my home, that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I have said I have hope, if I have said, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they are grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and their gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave or turn back from following you. For where you will go, I will go, and where you will lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me worse, if anything, but death parts me away from you. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. The key concept of this whole book of Ruth is based on the concept of chesed. For Ruth here demonstrates a loyalty. God is loyal. Though we might not be loyal, but God is loyal. Ruth here demonstrates chesed. Loyal love to Naomi that goes beyond the requirement of duty. She's going beyond the measure and she's saying, no, I will not go. I will stay with you. The best way maybe we can describe chesed is we can look at it as a quality that moves someone to act for the benefit of someone else without considering, what is it in for me? What is it in for me? What would she gain from that? What would Ruth gain? She could have gone and go back to her family. They could have arranged for her to be married again. But this is the nature of God that we see in Ruth. God gains nothing from our praises. We can worship him as it pleases him, but he is self-sustaining. He does not live off our prayers. He does not live off what we give him. God is an all-powerful God, almighty God. And this kind of draws a parallel when we look at the concept of grace in the New Testament. It's given freely. Yeah. It's given freely. And if you go your Bibles again, I would urge you to go to Romans 8. And in Romans 8, 31 to 39, and I'm reading for the NIV, and then Paul is asking these questions, and he's saying, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, hallelujah, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? What are we lacking today? Are we lacking something? Anybody lacking something? God can give us graciously. Out of his grace, he can give us. Are there any complications that we are currently in at the moment? Are we having some sort of complication in our life? God is ready for that, to give us graciously. Not that he gives us because we are fasting, because we are praying, or because now he gives us as a benefit of our prayer. It's totally undeserved. That's what God is giving us. And Paul goes on and says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus died. More than that, he was raised. Often we focus on the death of Christ, but Paul is saying, no, his resurrection is power. That's his resurrection in our life. What brings us here today, what we, the hope that we have is in his resurrection. He raised from the dead. He raised from the dead. Jesus raised from the dead. Do you understand that, friends? Jesus is alive. And he sits at the right hand of God. Paul continues. And is interceding for us. What more do we want? If Jesus is interceding for us, it's every day that he's interceding for us. Before we sleep, before we wake up, give us our daily bread. He provides our daily bread, day in, day out. Some days we might go hungry, but we'll never starve. He's there providing for us, interceding for us. Sometimes we might get spiritual attacks. He's there protecting us because we are in him. And then he goes out and says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I would like to believe, who shall separate us from God's chesed? Nothing. From the love of Christ. And he goes on, shall trouble or hardship or persecution, famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, Paul goes on to say, for your sake we face death all day. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Every one of you in here tonight, this afternoon, we are more than conquerors. Jesus has given us that ammunition. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and resurrected from the dead, conquered all sin, all death. That's Jesus. You are a conqueror, and being a conqueror involves quite a lot of things. Whatever battle that you might face, you all have different battles. Everyone here is unique, and Jesus has given you that power to be a conqueror, to be somebody who can conquer. Yeah. 19 years ago, this word was true. Yes. On the day the church started praying for a church, and he says, you are more than conquerors. You are more than conquerors. Amen. And it took 19 years of prayer, but we had already conquered the very first day. Yes. He saw this church, but in his timing, God's timing. Yeah. It's all about God's timing.
It is. Yeah.
19 years ago, God was preparing this message we're talking today.
Yeah.
So the words we speak today are prophetic.
Amen.
It's quite prophetic. I want to remind you, when the children of Israel went into exile, they struggled. They were in Babylon.
Yeah.
They saw images, false gods, idols. It was a struggle. It took almost 70 years.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah was being told by God, you will come back to this place and rebuild it.
Amen.
And nobody believed it then because it was totally left in disarray, the temple.
Yeah.
And that scripture in Nehemiah, when they start rebuilding, and Sanballat the Arab is trying to stop them, trying to discourage them. And I tell you, in these 19 years, there was a lot of discouragement. There was a lot of discouragement. They were discouraged. The church was discouraged. Some people are still here with us. Some have left. Some didn't see it happening too fast. even the people in exile, some of them were weary. They say, we'll never go back. We are slaves for life. But we are more than conquerors. God's word is true. God's word is, even if we're not true ourselves to our word, God is true to his word. He will fulfill it. If it said something in your life, he's going to fulfill it for you. You have to bear in mind, God is love. He's chesed. He never goes back. So it's a covenantal love. It's a covenantal kind of love. And David crying out to the Lord says, have mercy. Have mercy on me, O Lord. According to your love and faithfulness. According to your chesed. There's that word again. Chesed. And he's crying out to the Lord. He keeps on crying out to the Lord. And when he cries out to the Lord says to him, rather David continues, and he says, you do not delight in sacrifice. Oh, I will bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. How many sometimes go with a broken spirit? That is a sacrifice that God requires. He is appealing to chesed because there is a breakage of relationship there in a covenant which David had broken. And by breaking that covenant, took him out of covenantal relationship. Out of covenant. So the only thing he can appeal to is chesed. God's unfailing love. He moved beyond. And Paul continues and he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death or life, death or life. Remember Ruth? Where you would die, even in death, I'll be with you, mother-in-law. Even in death, that is our promise. Even if we were to die today, Christ with us, we're in Christ. There's no fear of death in us. We are in Christ. In life, we should remain in Christ still. And he continues to say, angels or demons. Angels or demons. Yes, demons can come, all sorts of witchcraft, anything that can take away our life or try to manipulate us, try to oppress us. And he's saying, Paul is saying no. He's saying no. And he goes on and says, neither the present nor the future. There's many things going around. The end of the world maybe will end on the 24th, the 23rd. Even this month, they're talking about it. When the tsunami happened last time, these are the end times. These are poison, even the future. Or the past, whatever's happened in the past, or the significance of that, yes, all that is there. But Paul is saying, he's saying, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither heights. Yes, we might have gone to Pluto, fly over the heights of heights. We might find another civilization there. We're looking for what? Even that beyond the heights or depths. Nor anything else in all creation. Okay. When they find ETs or aliens, all creation is from God. All creation, whatever they find in other worlds, Kepler, what's Kepler B, Kepler 3, other distant planets, which are similar to Earth, can sustain life. It's only a matter of time we find life. It's always been. It's always been. The Egyptians were good at it. They would know all the stars, the constellations. The Greeks were good at it. That's Zeus' planet. That's the constellation of Orion and his belt. That's where planet Eris is from. All that, it's in the past. So just as it was in the past, so it is now. So it is now. Not only that it is now, and Paul is saying, all that, none of that will be able to separate us from the love of God. I want to believe from God's chesed, from his faithfulness, from his enduring love, that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you got your Bibles, can you please open them to Psalm 136? And I'll just ask you all, if you got your Bibles, I just want you to read randomly. One reads one chapter and the other reads the other chapter until we read all the 26 verses. I'll start it off. It says, give thanks to the Lord for his good. His love endures forever. His chesed, the word is there again. That's the word again. His love endures forever. That's if you're reading the NIV. If you're reading King James Version or New King James Version or whichever other translation, it might say, for his mercy. That's the word again, chesed. So there's a confusion in English as to what does it actually mean? This word, it's chesed. Somebody read the next verse, please. His chesed endures forever. The next verse, please.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his steadfast love endures forever.
His chesed, steadfast. That's the definition of chesed. Steadfast. He holds you. He's steady. Next verse, please. His chesed endures forever. Next verse, please.
To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever.
That's the word again. That word mercy endures forever is chesed. That's the word that's been translated. And there are many variations as to what it means. Loyal love. Next verse, please. Anybody can read it. Next verse. Loving kindness. Again, that's the word again. Loving kindness. It's chesed. It's trying to understand what that word means. All our translations here, they're grappling with that concept of chesed. That's what we're grappling with. Next verse, please. His faithful love. That's chesed again. So the whole David is seeing this and he is just in awe of what chesed is. And then he's asking God, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. According to your unfailing. There's no one way to speak of it. Next verse, please. His love endures forever. His chesed endures forever. Even in creation, it was all about his love. To create the whole world, to create the universe, it was out of love. So his love endures forever. It's an enduring kind of love. The next verse, please. Amen. Even for those who are in slavery, there is chesed in that. It's an act of mercy. It's an act of chesed. Next verse, please.
And
Amen. His loving kindness endures forever. Loving kindness. That's the same word. That's the very same word. That's the very same concept of what God is. Wherever you've been brought out of, wherever you were before you came to Christ, it's because of his love endures forever. That's why we are here. That's what we have in Christ. It's because of his love. It's because of chesed. If we say love, it's limited. Very, very limited, because we might be talking about different contexts of faithfulness. But if we say chesed, just know that you are unlocking a word which is powerful. You are talking about God's real nature. Is that chesed? That's what we're talking about. The next verse, please.
With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm.
Amen.
For his mercy endures forever.
Chesed. With a strong head, with an outstretched hand, his love endures forever. His chesed. Think about your life. He's been there. We had our up and downs. He doesn't have up and downs with us. He's always there, steadfast.
Yes.
Steadfast. We go through all sorts. Life takes turns. We go through journeys. We go through trials. His love endures forever. Next verse, please. His faithful love endures forever. I love how the translation, all translations are grappling with how, which word to use. Should we say mercy? Should we say love and faithfulness? What word should we use? That key word is chesed. That's the key word. So if you understand what chesed is today, and if you understand what you are in Christ, you are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. No weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon. Keep that in mind. No weapon formed against you will prosper because of his chesed. Next verse, please. For his mercy, his chesed. Just keep chesed in you. Keep it within you. Keep it in your heart. Keep it in your heart. Keep this word of chesed in your heart. Next verse, please. We're going to run out of verses soon. Amen. Which armies are you facing today? Which pharaohs are you facing today? He's already catered for you.
Amen.
Through his chesed. Which Pharaoh are we facing today? Yes, we're about to acquire this lovely building. Is Pharaoh standing in the way? Let's just remember, his love endures forever. His chesed is there. And whatever Pharaoh might think, he's almost going to crush them. And we'll pass through. There'll be pillars. The ground will be dry. And we'll walk through. So whatever army you're facing today, not only an army, or Pharaoh himself leading the attack, his love endures forever.
Amen.
Next verse, please.
To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever.
Wilderness. Anybody been in wilderness lately? In the wilderness, yeah? Even in that wilderness, his love endures forever. His chesed endures forever.
Jesus.
Next verse, please.
Who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Steadfast love endures forever. Strike down kings. No one can, we're talking of kings. And when we're singing that verse earlier, we say, in royal robes, I don't deserve, because you are a royal priesthood. In royal robes, I don't deserve. We don't deserve it. It's not, we did not do something that God now owes us something. No. It's just because his love endures forever. Next verse, please. Amen. Amen. Next verse, please. Amen. All those are battles that the Lord fights for us. Next verse, please. Steadfast love endures forever. Amen. I'd just like to conclude. Yes, we could read them all. And I'll give you a little bit of homework to read them all, if you can, when you're at home. And make them even a prayer list. And see that as a story of your life. Because His love endures forever. That's what chesed is about. That's what chesed is about. So, in conclusion, what then can we say about this chesed? What then do we have? Who then are we? What then, God? Is there anything impossible for God? Since His love endures forever, there's nothing that is impossible for Him. We might go through trials. Some of us might be going through trials today. If any of the things that we're talking about today affect you somehow in your life, come and see the leadership team in this church. They'll pray for you. Come and see me after the service if you want. We'll pray for you because His love endures forever. And this day, He knew about this day, and we came to this day 19 years ago. He planned for this day 19 years ago. So some of these things have been planned 19 years ago. So I would like just to conclude with that. And I'll offer just a small prayer. Heavenly Lord, we thank You for Your chesed love. Your loving kindness that endures throughout the ages. We thank You for Your love that we do not deserve. Everything that we do in our life, You have ordered it. Help us to find that path that You have ordained for us before the creation of the earth. Lord, we thank You. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. His love endures forever. Amen. Amen. God intended us to be here today. Hallelujah. He knows where you are and He knows where you're going to be. We're just going to sing a song and take up an offering. Hallelujah. And worship the Lord. Thank You for that word. You could go on, and I don't mean that wrong when I say you could go on and on, but you know, we could go on and on that word. Because God is faithful, and God is looking for faithfulness in His people. Hallelujah. So let's just, we'll sing.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Sins are washed away.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for this time together. And Lord, we just pray as we continue in your presence. Lord, as we eat food. And Lord, as we gather together afterwards. Lord, we're just going to praise your name. We're just going to enjoy your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.